Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau, and I want to welcome you back to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast for today. We are blessed each and every time you join us because we are always striving to bring you exciting, down-to-earth interviews with a heavenly view. Amen? And today is going to be an especially interesting interview that I know will bless you immensely. How many times have you wished you could just hang out with a successful business entrepreneur? Not just someone who was successful in business alone, but was also rooted and grounded in the Word. Someone who knows who he is as a member of the body of Christ and realizes that all of the success he has achieved is because of the blessings of God working in his life. He understands that these things were not just for him, but for everyone who believes. If that describes you, then you're going to really enjoy this broadcast. Amen. My guest today has been on our program before, a long time ago, almost 400 episodes ago. Paul Moore is the co-founder of Wellings Capital, a commercial multifamily investment firm, and he is the author of the book, The Perfect Investment, Creating Enduring Wealth from the Historic Shift. And he's going to be telling us, because I'm going to ask him, about how he went from over $2 million in the bank to over $2.5 million in debt, and then back to debt freedom again. Paul has an engineering degree and MBA, and after working for a while with the Ford Motor Company, he launched out on his own, starting a number of different companies. Twice, he was a finalist for the Michigan Entrepreneur of the Year Award. Hallelujah. And his multifaceted real estate experience includes the development and financing of a subdivision, a Hyatt Hotel development, and two successful online real estate marketing sites, plus an extensive investment in the development and management of several dozen, hear me now, dozen residential and commercial projects. Help me welcome back to the program, Paul Moore. Paul, thank you so much for coming back on the show today.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thanks, Bob.
Hey, man, 400 episodes ago, just a little over 2 years, I think. That's hard to believe. I know a lot's gone on in our life since then. And we have a lot of new listeners that probably did not hear your prior interview. So why don't we start with this question first? In your own words, other than that short bio that I just read, tell us, who is Paul Moore?
Well, you know, I spent years, Bob, I'm going to get to your question in a second. I spent years with a lie that I lived under. And that lie, I've been a believer in Jesus for about 34 years, but I spent the first 30 almost believing this lie. And that lie was that I was inferior. Oh, yeah. I believed that, you know, missionaries, I quickly, as soon as I got saved about 34 years ago, I believed right away that missionary work was the highest calling in the world, and foreign missions specifically. And then second, maybe pastors, and then somewhere below that, you know, maybe elders, and then way, way, way down at the bottom, I believe that business people were inferior. But I didn't know that the problem I had was between my ears, because Jesus doesn't talk that way. Amen. You know, 98% of believers don't get their paycheck from a church. And 98% of believers are out there in the world, and we have more opportunities to connect with the world. We have more opportunities to glorify God. We have more opportunities to make really bad, unethical, or really good ethical decisions and hard decisions than almost any pastor I know. And so what I didn't realize was that I was drafted into full-time ministry the day I decided to follow Jesus. And so finally, the last 5 years or so, I've been living out that calling, and I'm trying to tell people how important their role is in the world. You know, if we knew the way God saw us, we would never want to be anybody else. We'd never be jealous of anybody else in any spotlight or pulpit or on any screen. We would be living out exactly who God called us to be. So I guess that's the answer to your question. I'm a man who is trying to live out all that God's called me to be in every sphere that I'm in.
Yeah, amen. You know, I tell people that all the time. You know, I say, well, I'm not in the ministry. Well, yes, you are. You know, if you're a medical doctor, you know, I can't operate and do open heart surgery on somebody, and you know, and I wouldn't want to just trust, you know, a plumber who says he can do it either. You know, I want to go to someone who's called to do that. And there are business people who are called, like you are, into business to be a blessing. You know, just like there are, you know, auto mechanics and roofers and, you know, electricians. That's a calling. Now, there are some people who make a living doing auto mechanics, but that's not their passion. That's not, you know, they're not called to do it. Because if you're called to do it, it becomes a passion. You have the grace to go through all the trials and the headaches and everything. Just, you know, I get asked all the time, how do you spend all this time behind those computers all day working on the radio stuff? Doesn't that just get to you after a while? And I have to admit, sometimes it does. But, you know, for the most part, though, you know, I just do it because this is the grace God's given me to be able to handle all the multifaceted avenues that come at me all the time, you know. But put me in front of, you know, if you put a wrench in my hand, my family's learned a long time ago, run the other way. But
Yeah, me too. You know, I tried to be a builder once, and I didn't even know how to change the lock on my own bedroom door. And, you know, it probably wasn't a good idea to be a builder. And actually, the subcontractors on our crews got to know pretty quickly that I didn't know what I was talking about. So instead of making an $80,000 profit, we lost about $40,000 on that deal, and I never built a house again.
Yeah, yeah. This sounds like a remodeling project I did in a home we had in Louisiana. I was just going to put a back porch, you know, poured the cement and was going to build a deck, and when we got ready to sell the house, so 7-8 years later, a real estate guy said, well, first thing they needed to increase the value is tear this thing down. And my family used to joke about that all the time. But my carpentry skills, I can't say are non-existent, but they're pretty darn close.
Well, I gave up trying.
Yeah, exactly. Now, anytime, well, can't you fix it? I can, but why spend double the money, you know?
Right.
So anyway, Paul, I want to give our listeners your contact information here at the beginning, because sometimes, you know, I have no reason understanding why, but some of them aren't able to listen all the way through. So
I can't
like
imagine
to give them, yeah, me either. But I would like to give your contact information right now, and then we'll go over it again at the end. So can you tell us how to get in touch with you if someone has a question or wants to reach out or maybe do an interview like this?
Absolutely. So they can reach out to me at my website contact form. It's wellingscapital.com. That's WELLINGS capital CAPITAL.com.
All right. Now, I'll be putting links to all this in the show notes as well. But let's just recap a little bit about what we talked about last time. Now, you encourage people to do ministry basically outside the four walls of the church. And you're encouraging them to operate in a supernatural business in doing so. So what steps can a Christian business owner, and not necessarily, you know, I'm not talking about Lifeway bookstores or anything like that. I'm talking, you know, not a Christian-themed business, but a Christian who is a business owner. What steps can they do to put them on the right path to financial freedom? Not just financial success, but financial freedom. What can they do?
So I think that's going to be different for everybody, and that's where wisdom comes in. You know, Jesus said that the queen of the south will rise up in judgment against this generation because she recognized Solomon's wisdom, and she came running. And so I think, you know, I think that Jesus is holding out a call to us, and I think in Proverbs it holds out the call to look for wisdom. And I would say, you know, as supernaturally, you know, as Holy Spirit filled individuals, we have access to greater wisdom even than Solomon. Dare I say that?
Amen. Amen.
Yes, because John the Baptist, you know, Jesus called him the greatest, and he said the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. I'd say it is not blasphemy to say that, look, we have the mind of Christ. Let's think about Bill Gates here. Okay. Bill Gates, the richest man on earth, in 97 or 2007, whenever it was, I think it was 97, and he was a young guy, and he has access to 1/4 of what you have access to, Bob, and most of your listeners as well. Think about it. He was created in God's image, and so were you. And so he's really maximized that one for sure. Second, you have the mind of Christ. And as far as I know, Bill doesn't. You have the Holy Spirit within you. As far as I know, he doesn't. And you have Christ in you, the hope of glory. And again, I don't think he does. So he is operating on one quarter of your capacity. And he's really done well for himself. Yeah. Good old Bill. Yeah. And I think that, you know, I think it starts with a mindset shift, believing that God wants to speak to you, believing that God wants to use you, believing that Jesus wants to, you know, it says in 1 John, no one has ever seen God. But it goes on to say, if we are acting in our capacity as representatives of him in love, then they will see us and they will be able to effectively see God. So we've got to believe that he really wants to use us. You know, there's a strange scripture in Judges that says that Gideon, and it's implied, and you have to dig into it. And I'm no expert. I'm no Hebrew scholar. But if you dig into the word, it says that it's almost as if it says God put on Gideon like a glove.
Yeah.
It was kind of like one of those very few Holy Spirit filling, scriptures in the whole Old Testament. God put Gideon on like a glove. What if you and I could go to work that way every day and say, Lord, put me on my brain, my voice, my face, my body, put me on like a glove, fill me today, and let me represent you everywhere I go today at work and at home and with my friends and everything I do. Let me be the resurrected man that you made me to be. I think that's where it starts.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, that's good. I love that operating on one quarter of what, you know, some of these successful business people, you know, and the thing is, a lot, if you actually analyze what some of these secular business people are doing, even though they may not be believers, they are still using biblical principles in their business. Not intentionally as far as, well, this is what the Bible says we have to do type thing, but, you know, sowing and reaping and treating your customers as you'd want to be treated yourself, things like that. And it is proving over and over that it's successful when implemented. Mm-hmm. I guess you could call it like laws, you know, there are laws where if they are implemented, they work. And
right.
It doesn't matter who does it. You know, you could do 75 miles an hour down the expressway, whether you're a 92-year-old man or a 19-year-old boy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it works.
That's true.
The same.
That's
now,
good.
Let me ask you this. We often hear, talking on this same subject, you know, people, preachers, ministers, whatever, say, give until it hurts, then give some more, then you'll be in a position for God to bless you. But you're talking about this in a completely different light, a different perspective. Can you explain to our listeners how you go about doing this and how it relates to what you just shared?
So as far as, you know, giving financially, is that what the question is regarding?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I guess I have a little different view. I really do believe that God is certainly, I think we'd all would agree, is not a vending machine in the sky, and he doesn't automatically. I mean, I think, you know, Malachi 3 is true, of course. But, you know, it says, if we give, test me in this, see if I will not overflow your banks and your storehouses with, you know, with blessings from heaven. And I believe that's true. And I'm going to tell you a wonderful, exciting story about that in a little bit. At the same time, I don't think he's a vending machine. I think he's all about relationship. And I think that's his primary focus. I mean, he talked about the woman who put just two copper coins in the offering plate, and that was more than the, you know, big givers of her time gave. It did hurt, and so that does fulfill what you said. She gave till it hurt. But I don't know that that is the condition. I think it's all about relationship. I think God wants our hearts. Like I said, I'm going to tell a story later about how it worked. It happened two different ways, even though I tried the same thing over the years, and it didn't work. It didn't have the same outcome. And that's why I think we need to be careful that we don't follow a formula. Although, like you said, there are principles of God that if we follow in general, I believe we will be getting those blessings that he holds out.
Yeah. Amen. And yeah. If you're, it really upsets me when people say, well, I'm going to give this $100 knowing God's going to bless me with $10,000. Did God really tell you that? Maybe he's just going to multiply the 100, give you back your 100, but multiply what just was sown out. And it's going, you know, I mean, it really upsets me when I hear these people. I have no problem with intentional giving. You know, I'm going to give this because this is what right. I want to do type thing. But like you say, well, you know, I'm, you know, $100 on black 21. Come on, God. You know, type of thing. You know, that's not right.
You know? Oh, I agree.
Let's talk, because I think that's what you're just referencing. Let's talk about how you went from $2 million in the bank to $2.5 million in debt and then back again. I introduced that during the intro. Is that what you were just referencing?
Yeah, it is actually. So my wife and I have been tithing, and our goal was to even do more than tithe for our whole marriage. And we had been married about 21, 22 years at the time. It's been almost 32 now. And so I had sold my company actually 10 years before that. So in 1997, I sold my company for $2.9 million. My partner and I split it. I ended up with almost $2 million that year. I gave a lot of that to missions and kept a lot, and actually ended up getting involved in real estate investing. And I've learned a lot of lessons, Robert, through real estate investing. I learned the difference between speculation and investing, for example. Speculation is when your principal is not at all safe and you have a chance to make a return. And investing is when your principal is generally safe and you have a chance to make a return. And so that's been a cornerstone for us in Wellings Capital now as we go forward investing our money and our investors' money. We're really very, very big on keeping, you know, safety as a primary goal. But anyway, I was investing and speculating, and I made a lot of money and lost some money along the way. But I found myself in late 2007 as we were plunging into what we now know was the Great Recession. Yeah. About $2.5 million in debt, and it was all tied to real estate. I had my personal home counted in there, my vacation home, and then a whole bunch of waterfront lots I was investing in. And about the late 2007, my partner came along and he said, "I'm sorry, I just can't pay half of the interest on this, let's say $2 million of this debt anymore. I got to get out." And so my partner was ready to quit. And it was almost January 1st, 2008. So a couple friends of mine met at a Hardee's restaurant and said, "Hey, Paul, you got to face the facts." One of them was my accountant's husband. "You got to face the facts. You're probably going to have to declare bankruptcy." I looked at him and I said, "Guys, I don't think so. I've got a story to tell you." So I told them what had happened a few weeks before on Sunday morning. I was sitting in my chair early on a Sunday morning meditating. And I sensed that God was saying, "WWGMD," not "what would grandma do?" "What would George Mueller do?" And your listeners are probably very familiar with George Mueller, but for the few that aren't, he was a hellion turned pastor, evangelist, missionary that lived pretty much through the whole 19th century. And he moved from Germany to England, and he ended up in Bristol, England, where he housed a total of, I believe, up to 10,000 total orphans while he had his orphanages in Bristol, England. But he did it all on faith. He never asked for money. He never advertised. He never took up a collection. He just trusted that God would bring the money in, and bring the money in he did. God, we believe he raised something like $200 million in today's dollars during his time there. And if you do the math on 10,000 orphans, it might have been more than that. But at any rate, I thought, what would George do? Well, first of all, George Mueller wouldn't be in debt. Well, I was already in trouble on that point, but I couldn't change that. So I thought, what would George do if he did somehow end up in $2.5 million of debt? And I thought, well, he would start doing something outrageous. And so I told my friends, I said, "Guys, I'm not going to declare bankruptcy. I'm going to give my way out of debt." And they looked at me funny, just like your listeners are probably listening to me funny right now. And they said, "You're going to what?" I said, "We're going to give our way out of debt. We're going to start giving aggressively. And I mean more than tithing, way more than tithing. We're going to start to give a set amount of money every week until God jumps in and rescues us. And I believe God's spoken to me, and I believe we're going to be rescued. Just watch." And so I told my family the same thing. My wife was of course, old enough to understand what I meant, and it was terrifying to her as a 40-year-old. My kids were all, you know, in their teens or down to 4 years old, and they just looked at me funny. And so we started giving aggressively January 1st, 2008, and every week we wrote a check to our church or to a local or to an international nonprofit we were excited about, like a mission organization, and we gave quite aggressively. And through the month of January, it was painful, but we kept doing it. And about the end of January, the last week in January, I was at a Subway restaurant. All these good things happen in restaurants, I guess. And I met a real estate developer there, and I told him I said, I got 5 acres of waterfront property. I was hoping to subdivide it into 5 one-acre lots, but I can't, and the zoning won't allow it. And he said, well, what if you did this? And he told me about a certain loophole in the law. And I said, oh, yeah, I know about that. That won't work. And here's why it won't work. And he said, yeah, you're right. Well, you still should think about it, because what if you did this? And he mentioned another little twist to the law. And it was as if a light bulb from heaven went on right then. And I said, oh, my goodness, I just had an idea. And it wasn't even his idea exactly. It was a different idea. And so I called my surveyor, who was a follower of Jesus, and he just shook his head. And he's like, you've got to be kidding. That's crazy. Well, we'll run it by the county planning and zoning people. So we did. We sat down with them 2 days later. We went over the plan, and the lady looked at me over her glasses with a little twisted smile and said something like, I've been working here for whatever, 20, 30, 40, whatever years. And she said, I have never heard such an outlandish proposal, or somebody trying to use the law that, well, I just, and then she paused and she said, you're actually right. She said, you found a loophole in the law that for some reason nobody in all these decades has found.
Wow.
Yes, you can do this.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, there was a lot of pain, a lot of sweat, a lot of hard work, a lot of money on lawyers and surveyors and banks ahead of me. But 13 months later, Bob, we were completely debt free.
Amen. Amen.
And yeah, the crazy thing is this happened right in the height of the recession. I mean,
yeah,
we sold
more
three or four of the lots of these 5 one-acre lots right when the very weeks the crash was happening.
Yeah.
Nobody was buying waterfront resort lots in that time.
Wow.
And it didn't even occur to me how amazing it was till I stepped back later and saw what God had done.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah, that is awesome. I mean, that is definitely, you know, the wisdom of God being imparted to you to catch that and to understand, oh, yeah. You know, and I could just picture that little lady sitting there with that smile, like, ah. Why didn't nobody else ever see this? You know?
Yeah, it's crazy. Awesome. She said that. Awesome. And our surveyor was, you know, like, he was just amazed as well. But I want to go on, and I've never shared this publicly, and I hesitate to do so. I don't want to discourage anybody, but I feel like I should. You asked earlier about give some more, then God will bless you. So I've been, you know, as an entrepreneur, I've had big ups and big downs. And I've had other times since then where our back was against the wall financially. And so we gave outrageously again. And these were times where I didn't sense like I heard from God that I did that time. I heard, what would George Mueller do?
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I forgot to tell you, my pastor that morning preached on George Mueller, and he'd never mentioned him before to my knowledge. So there have been other times since then, in the 11 years since then, that I have given and nothing really happened. And I didn't really sense, at least at the time. I mean, we were rescued. We obviously are here. We didn't default on any credit cards or loans or bankrupt or anything. We didn't do anything like that. And so we were rescued, but there wasn't the outpouring of heaven and wisdom and rescue and, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars coming in like there was after that event.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
My takeaway on that is, you know, God's going to speak to you and deal with you differently in every season. He's going to deal with every person differently. And that's when I really realized, you know, wait, God's not a vending machine. He's not just going to allow me to put a quarter in and get a candy bar out. He's going to deal. He wants my heart. He wants my obedience. And honestly, obedience for me at certain times, I don't know. It might've been just tithing instead of trying to do 50% or whatever. Right. And so I think I learned a valuable lesson through that. And that is God, again, he wants relationship. He's a good, good father. He's better than we could ever know. So we need to change what we know.
Yeah. Amen. Hey everyone, Pastor Bob here. We are all out of time for today's episode with our interview with Paul Moore. Now, in case you haven't caught on yet, Paul is a very renowned businessman, a very successful entrepreneur, and his purpose in life is to use the wisdom and the skills and the talent God has blessed him with in order to be a blessing to others as well. And his experiences, as we've been going through, he's just an awesome resource if you are trying to build a business, if you're trying to build your financial future, you need to get a hold of Paul and his organization because they are there to help. Now, we're only through part one, and this interview just gets better and better, I guarantee it. So you will not want to miss tomorrow's episode. You need to come back. Go down in the links in the show notes, check out Paul's website, get in touch with him, ask some questions, see how they can help you, because I can guarantee you, in some way, some form, some fashion, they will be able to benefit you. All you got to do is reach out and ask. So come back tomorrow. We'll conclude our interview with Paul Moore. Till then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on Faith-Based Podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.